CBS News. A Navy spokesman has told CBS News that the Navy has had detailed discussions with two U.S. aircraft manufacturers about making a new model fighter plane to the order of Iran. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A report in the Monday edition of the New York Times says Northrop Corporation, with active support from the Navy, is pushing development of a land-based spin-off of the Navy's newest carrier-based fighter, the F-18. The new plane would be the object of a $4 billion purchase by Iran. Commander G.W. Ibert, a spokesman for the Navy at the Pentagon, read CBS News an excerpt of a memo on the subject sent to the director of the Defense Security Assistance Agency.
The Vice Chief Naval Operations reported that the Naval Air Systems Command had had detailed discussions with Northrop and McDonnell Douglas representatives on the company's plans for developing land-based derivatives of the F-18A. Both companies believe the F-18 provides a sound aircraft design which is adaptable to a variety of missions and has great potential for fulfilling a role in the tactical aircraft inventory of our allies. The Navy agrees with and supports their position.
According to the Times, the deal would give Northrop a successor to the F-5, a plane it has sold widely throughout the world without any research and development costs. The Navy would be enabled, through the deal, to hold down the spiraling costs of its F-18, originally conceived as a lightweight, low-cost fighter. But the Pentagon is reported concerned that a precedent would be set in allowing a foreign country to exercise leverage on weapons development and foreign military sales programs in the United States. The pilot strike against Continental Airlines, according to a company spokesman, will continue well into next week. Both sides met with members of the National Mediation Board in Los Angeles on Sunday, but no results of the bargaining session were announced immediately. Continental spokesman Joseph Daley told CBS News of the pilots' original demands.
As we read the work demands, it would require Continental Airlines to hire 225 more pilots to fly the same amount of route miles. And that would, the company just could not comply with such an enormous demand. The money portion of it, as I recall back in October 23rd, it would offer at the maximum senior captain of a DC-10 $79,200 and a senior captain of a 727 $66,600. This would be at the end of the work contract that we put in. And that seemed to be fairly close to what the pilots were demanding.
There were indications from sources close to the negotiations that the pilots had modified their demands, making Sunday's bargaining session possible. The pilots struck October 23rd, idling the nation's seventh largest airline. Continental carries some 21,000 passengers and 1.2 million pounds of freight daily among 33 cities, mostly in the West. Also in Los Angeles, an 11th-hour agreement averted a threatened strike by 20,000 supermarket employees. Negotiators for the Teamsters and Amalgamated Meat Cutters unions reached agreement on a new contract package with the supermarkets in talks late Sunday night. Markets affected are in Southern California and Los Angeles. Continental Trailways southeastern bus lines resumed operation in five states late Sunday after some 500 drivers and support personnel voted to accept a new contract worked out only hours earlier. The drivers, members of the Amalgamated Transit Union, walked out shortly before midnight Thursday in a new contract wage dispute. They reportedly received higher wages, as well as increased sick time and vacations. United Auto Workers President Leonard Woodcock has called a Monday news conference in Detroit, at which it's expected he'll announce a strike deadline for General Motors. The union and Chrysler reached agreement Sunday on a new contract for white-collar workers, following Friday's agreement on a new contract for Chrysler production workers. The Chrysler agreement is patterned after the pact reached last month with Ford following a four-week strike. There's been no further word for several hours from Greece on a Monday morning series of earth tremors that drove thousands of residents into the streets of the city of Salonika. Officials in the Macedonian port city reported at least 300 people hurt in the rush to flee their homes. Police reported no property damage of consequence. Now this.
I'm Charles Osgood, CBS News. Join me on Newsbreak, mornings on most of these CBS radio network stations, as we explore this curious world of ours. Some days, I'll pick a major news story to explore in further detail. Other days, it may be a person who did not exactly make the headlines, but whose story is noteworthy in the course of human events. Newsbreak, one of the many broadcasts of news and commentary, along with hourly CBS News, updates to the minute on most of these CBS radio network stations.
You hear a lot of talk these days about the 55-mile-an-hour speed limit, about how much energy slowing down will save, and about how many lives can be saved, too. I really can't argue with that. You can't get around this, either. The 55-mile-an-hour speed limit isn't just a good idea. It's the law.
A public service of this station, the U.S. Department of Transportation, and the Advertising Council.
Queen Elizabeth II and her husband, Prince Philip, will be leaving Windsor Palace shortly on their way to the first visit by a British monarch to the Grand Duchy of Luxembourg, smallest of the 9 European Common Market nations. The royal couple will be welcomed by Grand Duke Jean, his wife Josephine Carlotte, sister of Belgium's King Baudouin, and 2 of their 5 children. Many of Luxembourg's 350,000 citizens are expected to mark Monday's visit by flying the Union Jack outside their homes. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
KIXI Seattle, it's 10:07 and time for CBS Mystery Theater.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... E.G. Marshall. To thine own self be true, and it must follow, as the night the day, that thou canst not then be false to any man. Consider that statement, and ask yourself, what is the great poet saying? He says to any man. He doesn't say to any other human being, just man. Therefore, we must assume you can be as false as you please to any woman.
Richard, what are you doing here?
I'm waiting for Louisa.
Louisa?
Yes. She said to wait here for her.
But Louisa is...
Well, don't be afraid to say it. Louisa's dead, I know that. But she said she'd be here.
But how can she? How can she?
I know everything you're going to say, but I also know Louisa. If she said she'll be here, she'll be here. Dead or alive.
Our mystery drama, The Golden People, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars William Redfield. It is sponsored in part by True Value Hardware Stores and Time Magazine. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
The standard engine is a V8. Standard tires, steel-belted radials. There are front and rear stabilizer bars, special springs and shock valving, fast ratio power steering, and a rally steering wheel. What makes all this interesting is that it belongs to a full-size six-passenger Buick, the 1977 LeSabre Sport Coupe. You'll have to drive it to believe it.
It takes one glassful to know this beer. Budweiser is the king of beers. Ah, the crisp aroma of the choicest hops. And that famous snappy Budweiser taste that only the most careful brewing process and exclusive Beechwood aging can deliver. And deliver it does. A smoothness, a drinkability, and cold golden enjoyment you'll find in no other beer at any price. Anheuser-Busch Headquarters, St. Louis, Missouri.
Most important people since people first began. Our children, 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 father, child is father of us. song to UNICEF. The Tucson Boys Choir gave their talents. To learn what you can give, call your local UNICEF committee or write UNICEF, United Nations, New York.
Fickle and unfair fate can be. Why does she give some of us so much and some of us so little? I'm in trouble already. I have made fate capriciously female and have probably thereby aroused the ire of all the women's lib persons in my audience. But I must be true to my story, which happens to be about the quintessential male chauvinist. His name is Richard Paradon, and he only goes to prove how capricious is fate, as I started to say before. He has everything, looks, brains, charm, talent, and he also knows how to make money. Watch him. He is working now.
You sent for me, Mrs. Palmer?
Please, sit down, Mr. Paradon.
Oh, Mr. Paradon, Mrs. Palmer, how formal we are today. Just think, in a few weeks, it will be Mother and Dick.
Permit me to tell you why I asked you to come here.
Permit me to anticipate you. You have decided to give Laura and me your blessing. Well, you know how excited she is. Only the other day, she said to me, just think, instead of being Laura Palmer, I'll be Laura Paradon. I won't even have to change my monograms.
I have decided it's cheaper to pay you off.
Say that again.
You know, and I know, why you want to marry Laura. Why don't you take a check now and leave?
Why should I? Why be satisfied with a piece when I can have the whole pie?
Because it will never come out of the oven. If you marry Laura, I shall cut her off without a cent.
Oh, you wouldn't disinherit your only child.
No.
It's a bluff.
Call it. I have a check here for $50,000. When you cash it, I will have the canceled check as my receipt. I shall present it to Laura as a sort of love letter from you.
Mrs. Palmer, you're a clever woman.
Attached to the check will be a statement signed by you to the effect that for payment received, you have decided to fall out of love with Laura.
But you certainly are skilled in meeting this sort of situation.
I should be. I've had enough practice.
I beg your pardon?
When a wealthy woman has, as her only heir, a rather unattractive daughter, she becomes the target for every fortune hunter, hustler,
and... Mrs. Palmer, your daughter is not unattractive.
Well, I suppose that's true. My daughter is really ugly.
Well, now...
Mr. Paradon... I have remained wealthy because I accept reality.
Then why not accept me? I am reality. I'm willing to marry your daughter.
For her money.
That's reality. Who would marry her for any other reason?
I cannot accept you because you are a scoundrel.
Who else but a scoundrel would marry for money? I would be kind to her, good to her.
For a while. And then because you have no real staying power, you'd become tired of her, leave her, after going through all her money. And there she'll be, all alone in the world.
Actually, she's all alone in the world now, isn't she?
Well, I'm alive. At least she'll have money.
Hardly a warm comfort on a cold evening.
It's all a matter of what you're used to. I have here a pen. Shall you sign the agreement and pick up your check?
Now, you may ask, why take a crumb when you might have the whole banquet? Well, you know what they say on Wall Street. Sometimes the bears win, sometimes the bulls win. But the pigs, well, they always lose. And yet, although I'm certainly not a pig, I always lose too. Not because I'm greedy, but because I have too much faith. Faith in horse flesh. Faith that certain numbers will come up on various wheels. Faith that specific combinations of spots will appear on certain dice. Why go on? In less than 50 days, or an average of $1,000 a day, that $50,000 was gone. Gone with the wind. And so, it was time to visit my sister, Big Sister Sally, where I could find respite and comfort. Or in other words, where I could freeload until something turned up. Ah, that hi-fi, it is magnificent.
You should know. You bought it for me.
Did I? I forgot.
You can have it.
What are you talking about?
Richard, you're broke.
Now, what makes you say that?
Because you're here.
You mean a man can't just come and visit his sister?
Oh, look, you could get $300-$400 for it, Richard, and you need the money.
Do you think I would sink so low?
You've sunk lower.
Sally.
Look, I'm short on cash right now.
But, Sally, I don't want it.
The tuition went up at the college, and the twins can't earn very much money. And it's all I can do to hold my job at the radio station, much less ask for a raise.
Sally, if you think I would deprive you of the one thing that brings you joy in life, your classical music...
Look, I just want you to know you can have it any time you need it. Oh, poor Richard. It isn't your fault.
What isn't my fault?
I'm to blame also.
For what?
You know how old I was when you were born.
Yes, of course I know.
15. And Mom and Papa, they were close to 50. And then suddenly there was this little baby in the house, like a beautiful doll. Everyone made such a fuss over you.
Sally, what does all this have to do with my...
We petted you, we coddled you. Oh, we worshipped you. You were so handsome. And you knew it. We were clay in your fingers.
What are you trying to tell me?
No one could say, including me, that you were growing up into a beautiful, self-centered parasite.
Now, that isn't fair.
Of course not, but it's true. You live completely for your own pleasure. And why not? It pleased us that you should do so. But soon, Richard, soon...
Soon what?
Soon your ravishing looks will no longer take everyone's breath away. That's because they'll no longer be ravishing. And then what becomes of you? Already your hair shows signs of becoming thin.
That isn't true.
There are little lines...
Where?
And you're over 40. You're starting to look it.
What are you saying?
Richard, please... Let me help you.
Well, fine help you are, talking this way.
If I could only convince you to settle down, find a job, a wife, and stop being a bad boy.
Well, thank you for that most encouraging and inspiring vote of confidence. If ever I need a boost for my morale, I know just where to go. In the mirror. What she said wasn't true. Or was I lying to myself? Were all the little signs there, and was I afraid to acknowledge them? Suddenly, I realized that even if they weren't there now, it was only a matter of time. I couldn't look young forever. I couldn't remain handsome forever. There are moments which we recognize as decisive, and I knew that one had arrived for me. I knew I'd have to determine the future course of my existence.
Richard, are you all right?
What? Oh, yes. Yes, fine.
You know what you need is fresh air to clear your head.
My head is perfectly clear.
Well, why don't you go for a walk? By the stream.
No, I'd rather sit in the house.
Oh, but it's such a beautiful day.
All right, Sally, all right. If it'll make you happy, I'll go for a walk.
By the stream.
All right. By the stream. Actually, the walk was rather a good idea. The air was like sparkling wine. I was so busy thinking of how glorious all nature was that I didn't see her standing by the edge of the stream. I almost knocked her into the water.
I'm
so sorry.
That's all right.
Oh, no, it isn't all right.
Well, I'm sure you didn't do it on purpose.
I was so busy thinking. I'm sorry. I was in a world of my own.
So was I.
Oh, really? Oh, what were you thinking about?
Well, in that stream is an entire swarming universe. Vast worlds made up of trillions of creatures, most of whom we cannot see.
I would say that's rather deep.
What were you thinking about?
I was thinking what fun it would be if I could meet a beautiful girl and take her to lunch, and I just met her.
Well, I'm not a beautiful girl. I'm not even pretty. The truth is, I'm rather plain.
I think you're beautiful.
I think you're kind.
Lunch? Now, why did I do that? It had to be a reflex action. I see a girl and I have to score, even if I don't want her. And who would want Louisa Curran? She was right. She was plain. Her figure, just adequate. Her dress, just this side of dowdy. Oh, you didn't have to be ashamed to be seen in public with her. But that's about all I can say in her favor. Of course, if she had $1 million... But I soon found out.
I'm just a school teacher.
Oh, that sounds exciting.
Why?
Oh, the thrill of molding young minds and so forth.
No, I find it dull.
Oh. Well, then why don't you leave it?
Why bother? Wherever I'd go, I'd just be an old maid school teacher.
Oh, you have such a low opinion of yourself.
Perhaps. But it's the only one that can be justified.
It's all in the mind. You can be anything you want to be.
You can say that. You know why? Because you're one of the golden people.
I never knew that. Who are the golden people?
Oh, they're born with looks and luck. And everyone's attracted to them. Everything works for them.
You ought to meet my sister.
Oh, I know Sally. We're old friends.
Oh. Then I didn't pick you up.
No.
Oh, what a blow to my ego.
If you think that was a blow, this should knock you out. Sally and I, we arranged this apparently casual encounter. She was to suggest that you take a walk toward the lake and I would be there.
Oh, I see.
Sally was wrong to entertain even the faintest notion that a man like you could even consider a girl like me. I don't know why I call myself a girl. I'm 35.
And never been kissed?
Well, not often. Not often enough.
You know something? You're about to be kissed right now.
But
what?
You can't kiss me. In public.
Oh, fine. You don't object to being kissed. It's just the time and place.
Oh, please, Richard. Everyone will see.
It's a very wholesome sight.
Richard, I...
Shh.
Oh. Richard.
Oh, Louisa, it's crazy.
Oh.
How does it happen? But here and now, and suddenly, for the first time in my life, I'm in love. Louisa, I'm in love with you.
Oh, Richard.
Oh, I'm frightened, Louisa. I'm very frightened.
Isn't it said that man fears nothing as much as the unknown? Certainly to a man like Richard Paradon, love is an unknown quantity, something new and strange. No wonder he's apprehensive. However, I'm aware some of you hard cases in our audience are probably saying, a story about love is all very well in its way, but when is someone going to be killed? Patience, friends. I shall return with Act Two.
Come on, hold the flashlight up here.
You're going to break the window?
Got it. They got them all locked.
Easy.
Okay, okay. I'm going to lift the window now, and you crawl.
Let's go!
This is the sound of a remarkable burglar alarm system that doesn't cost very much. It's the home alarm set from Master Lock, the name that means security. Most of the cost of a professionally installed system isn't in the hardware, it's in the labor. With the Master Lock home alarm set, everything is pre-wired, simply snaps together. So you save yourself the labor charge, a reward for being handy. The Master home alarm set is a low-cost way to get high-quality burglar protection. It can save you a lot now and maybe a lot more later. For the Master Lock alarm dealer nearest you, call this toll-free number, 800-528-6050, 800-528-6050. Call tonight and sleep tight tomorrow night.
Okay, Marion, hand me the paddle.
But Teddy, that river looks so nasty.
Yeah, a bit rugged, all right. Nothing I can't handle, though.
Yeah, but you've never done this sort of thing before, and I think...
First time for everything, Marion. It takes a little guts.
Well, I just don't think you're doing...
Man needs a little excitement in his life, Marion. Good for the soul.
Howard won't like it if you bang up his canoe.
I won't. Now, give me a push. Easy.
Put your life vest.
Ah, stop it, Marion. I'm a grown man.
Teddy!
Later, baby!
Ted's off on a great adventure.
Geronimo!
when he may not survive. Not that it's foolish to shoot the rapids, just foolish for a complete novice like Ted. If you want a little excitement in your boating recreation, that's fine. But the American Red Cross urges you to protect yourself with knowledge, skill, and the proper safety equipment. After all, why do it the hard way?
Love. It has been likened to a blossom that matures and flowers like the fruit of a tree. But then, of course, we have all sorts of fruits. We have the beautiful fruit that nourishes and pleases, and we also have the beautiful fruit that poisons and kills. How do you tell them apart? Sometimes the only way is to taste. Ah, but you say, that's dangerous. Well, if you're looking for safety, keep away from love.
Richard, cut it out.
Cut what out?
You know what I'm talking about. Louisa Curran. Now cut the line you've been handing her. She's not like the others.
It isn't a line.
If you break her heart, I'll never forgive you.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Sally. You are the one who arranged for me to meet Louisa Curran. You are the one who worked up a cute little plot so that I could encounter her by accident. You are the one who brought us together. Now that your strategy has worked...
I was wrong. What? I sometimes lose myself in fantasy. I saw you as a man who, deep in his heart, wanted the love of a wonderful woman.
And you're right. I need that love.
Like a shark needs a mackerel. But I was carried away, and so I did something dreadful. I exposed you to Louisa.
No. You did something wonderful, Sally.
You're just making a play for her.
You're wrong. Take me at my worst. Did I ever go for a girl without money?
Louisa has some money. She's been saving for years.
Oh, I'm talking about real money. If I'm as bad as you say, why would I bother to make a play for her?
Because she's there. Look, this isn't exactly a bustling metropolis up here. You're bored, restless, frustrated, and she's available.
What are you making out of this?
She's not like any woman you've known. If she finds out this is just your way of passing the time, it could kill her.
Sally, I'm serious.
Richard, I've never asked you for anything. But I am now. Please, don't break her heart.
Has it ever occurred to you that she might be breaking mine?
Richard, you don't have a heart.
As recently as yesterday, I might have agreed with you. And then this strange, wonderful thing happened.
I don't believe you.
Maybe it's something else. Maybe I looked closely at myself for the first time. Maybe I was terrified by what I saw. Maybe I was struck suddenly by the emptiness, the hopelessness of my stupid life. Maybe that's why I want her. Does it matter why we love?
Richard, I never heard you speak this way before.
For the first time in my life, I'm serious. But it could all be a joke. Do you want to hear the punchline? I don't really impress her at all.
What are you saying?
I can't get to first base.
Oh, I wish I could feel sorry for you. As you have done unto others, so it is now being done unto you.
Thank you. I know I can always come here for inspiration and comfort.
You don't have to paddle. Just let the canoe drift.
Louisa.
Now, just toss your line over. If you talk, you'll scare away all the fish.
But Louisa...
Fishing is a time for silence and contemplation.
Now, why do you dangle that stupid line in the water? You've already caught the biggest fish in the lake.
Oh, please, Richard.
Please, Richard, what? Every time I tell you I love you, you say, please, Richard.
I can't believe you when you say you love me. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't have that knack for pleasing men that so many girls just seem to be born with. So why should you, who could have any girl in the world, want me?
Ah, but I can't have any girl in the world. It appears that I can't have you.
Oh, Richard, every girl dreams of a time like this. And for more years than I like to remember, I dreamed of it too. And then I stopped dreaming. I accepted reality.
What's reality?
Love would not be for me. Oh, it was hard to accept, but I was able to come to terms with it, and I was able to make a life for myself. So now, Richard, please, please don't...
Don't what?
Oh, let me be. It would be
so easy for me to fall in love with you.
I want you to fall in love with me.
Richard,
let me show you how
Richard,
easy.
Be careful, the canoe, it'll tip over.
Let it. Well, it didn't. I looked into her eyes, and at that moment, she was beautiful. Everything about her was beautiful. I was happy. Happier than I'd ever been in my life. The vagabond days were over. Just in time, I'd found a wonderful girl. And a job. Yes, there was one thing I could always do, and that was sell. And so I took a job in a sports car showroom. I would make a fortune, but I didn't need a fortune. Her house was adequate, comfortable, and all paid for. And every night we would sit, listening to music, and planning for our wedding.
Do you love me, darling?
I adore you.
And you'll be happy, here in Sadler's Corners.
Yes.
You're wonderful. Do you love me?
I adore you.
Just think. You've been all over the world and seen everything, done everything. And now you're satisfied to be here. Just with me. Oh, darling, do you love me?
Oh, you don't have to keep asking every 30 seconds.
It's silly of me. I don't know how to behave. This being in love and sharing and being so close, it's all so new to me. I'm so afraid I'm going to lose you.
You couldn't possibly lose me.
That's
very pretty music.
It's my favorite. It's from Orpheus in Hades. His wife, Eurydice, died, and then he goes down into the underworld to bring her back.
Ah, now that's love.
Would you do that for me?
Well, I don't think I'd ever be able to find the place. I tell you what, you'd know where I was. You come back and get me. Is it a bargain?
Oh, it's a bargain. Eurydice will return to Orpheus. Oh, Richard, I love you so much. You've become my whole life.
The old drives, the old desires, the old needs were gone, replaced by a feeling of peace. I'd done my share of hunting, and I was glad that it was over. I was so deep in my thoughts that I didn't notice her.
Is this a bedroom or a showroom?
She was tall. A better word is stately. She was blonde. Her face was perfect. Her figure left absolutely nothing to be desired. And she was smiling.
Do you sleep here?
No. I dream here. I dream that the most beautiful woman, the most charming woman...
The most wealthy woman.
That would help, but please, this is my dream.
Continue.
We'll come in here and say, I would like to buy a Rosetta Marchetti 8-cylinder XL Rally Coupe.
I would like to buy a Rosetta Marchetti 8-cylinder XL Rally Coupe.
Well, step this way, beautiful lady. Behold.
I'll take it.
Without asking the price?
I never ask the price.
Never?
Of course not. Because whatever it is, you see... I'm always willing to pay.
The car is $18,500. Stripped.
That sounds almost obscene. How much more would it cost to make her decent?
Oh, another six or seven.
Attend to that little detail for me, please. Will you take a check?
Oh, of course. Oh, and there is some clerical work. The bill of sale has to be drawn up.
Oh, I'm sure it must. Can someone here do it while you take me to lunch?
What hit me? I couldn't tell you. I was in a daze. I was a man in a dream. I took her check and the papers into the sales manager's office. No one buys a car that way. But even if it was a hoax, she was so beautiful. She took your breath away. We went down the street to a little restaurant where the food is superb. To this day, I couldn't tell you what I ordered. I know you'll enjoy the car.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
You know, I had this argument with the sales manager. He didn't think it was the model that belonged on the floor at first. Did you come in because you saw it in the window?
No. I came in because I saw you through the window.
Me?
Buying a car was just an excuse to meet you.
And you would spend $25,000 just for an excuse?
What's $25,000?
I felt a chill. I looked into those brilliant blue eyes. Was I mistaken, or was there just a hint of madness? Nobody could be that cavalier about $25,000. Well, okay, she was crazy and this was a joke, but she was so beautiful, there was really no harm in it. And then the waiter came over and said I had a telephone call. It was from Dolly, the sales manager's secretary.
Richard, do you know who that woman was?
Yeah, some nut. The check's no good, huh?
Oh, you know who she is?
She says her name is Jane Clark.
She's the Jane Clark.
The Jane?
Richard, she has $100 million.
$100 million? Joking.
Oh, what a sale you just made! What a sale!
There was a mirror near the phone. I glanced into it. I was shocked by what I saw. I looked so young, so fit. A new Richard Paradon. Or, I should say, the old Richard Paradon. Richard the Hunter. And the adrenaline was pumping because my quarry was in sight. And ready to be taken.
No bad news, I hope.
It was the office.
When will my car be ready?
Not for a couple of days.
Oh, I must be back in the city by this evening.
Well, we can have it delivered.
Will you drive it down yourself?
I think the sales manager would rather have it done through
He's beginning to bore me, that sales manager of yours. Why don't you quit your job?
I would if I could find another one.
How would you like to work for me?
What would I do?
Help me spend my money. That's not as easy as it sounds. It took my family 200 years to amass $50 million. I want to get rid of it.
Well, why not just give it away to the poor?
Why? What did the poor ever do for me? Now, I'm 41 years old.
Well, you don't look it.
And I think I'm good for another 25. By that time, I want every nickel to be gone. That's why I need your help.
Why me?
I'm in love with you.
Love?
I know what love is. I've been married 6 times. I saw you sitting in that showroom next to that heap of scrap metal.
Oh, now, you can't call a $25,000 custom build.
I have $50 million. I can do anything I please. And it pleased me to fall in love with you.
You mean these things don't happen? You mean the knight in shining armor never shows up for the girl? The golden princess never arrives? You mean people don't fall in love at first sight? Yes, the cards have been dealt very quickly. But hasn't someone been lost in the shuffle? Act 3 is coming up in a few moments.
At the Opelousas Isuzu Information Center of America, pandemonium reigns as thousands of people try to find out what one is.
Hello, Opelousas Isuzu Information Center.
Say, I think I've got an Opelousas Isuzu.
Good for you, sir. Can you describe it?
Well, it's about 4 feet high, brown, tan hair on its neck. It's got cute little eyes.
Sir, I believe that's a Shetland pony.
Oh, yeah. I can see that now.
See the little hoofs?
Opelousas Isuzu, a great new little car at your Buick Opel dealers.
There are a lot of ways it can waste gas and money. But a car can't do anything by itself. Because a car hasn't got a brain. You have. Use it. Drive smoothly, get tune-ups, consolidate trips, don't speed, drive less. In other words, drive with your head. You'll save gas, you'll save money. A public service message on behalf of this station and the Federal Energy Administration.
And in this car, in the peak, Larry Lund. And now, introducing his opponent in a charcoal gray with sooty stripes, Dirty Harry.
Now, as both men move to the center of the ring, we see Dirty Harry, cocky, confident, harassing his opponent orally with his typical pre-fight chatter. Let's listen. It will not be a clean fight, ladies and gentlemen. Dirty Harry, the more aggressive of the two, mixes up his punches with a barrage of sulfides, hydrocarbons, and, of course, his big closer, carbon monoxide. Lungs, meanwhile, fights a more defensive battle in the hopes of simply outlasting his opponent. And now, as we await the bell, we pause for this message.
Dirty air is out to knock the breath out of you with asthma, bronchitis, emphysema, and lung cancer. Don't take it lying down. Join with your lung association in the fight against air pollution. It's a matter of life and breath.
What we have here is a love story. And as we review it, we see that it seems very short on sweetness and truth. Well, what can we do? We have to report the facts as they exist. They say love is blind. That's why we have all the problems. If love could only see. As our story unfolds, we're listening to an argument. Richard Paradon is arguing with $50 million. How long do you think such an argument can last? And who do you think is going to win?
I can do anything I like, Richard.
I suppose you can.
I can have anything I want. And I want you.
But
what?
But what indeed? What was I arguing about? This is what I had dreamed about all my life. To marry a fabulously wealthy and beautiful woman. This is what I had trained myself for. And now it was about to come true. Oh, there was a little detail, Louisa, a loose end, but I would just tell her that... No, better not, no. I'd write her a letter. Yes, that would be the kindest thing in the long run.
What are you doing?
Who, me? I'm not doing anything.
You're packing.
Well, if you can see I'm packing, why did you ask?
It's all over town.
What's all over town?
You and Miss Jane Clark. I understand you're about to become number 7.
That's a lucky number.
And Louisa? You'll have broken her heart.
All right, let's settle this. You broke her heart.
Really?
You. Look, I'm not good, but you wouldn't let me alone. You had to reform me.
I told you not to break Louise's heart.
I'm sorry. I'm what I am, Sally. I'm self-centered, pleasure-loving, and if I did have a weak moment...
She'll kill herself.
That's blackmail.
Oh, Richard, please, have pity.
Oh, look out for pity. Too often it's a disguise for weakness.
Oh, you have all the answers.
Do you want me to stay with her for the rest of her life because I have pity for her?
I heard, Richard.
Louisa!
The door was open. Richard, I know how this must sound, but please don't walk away from me.
I'd better leave you
no,
two alone.
Stay, no, here, stay.
Stay, Louisa.
You told me you loved me. Was it true?
Yes. At that time and in that place, it was true.
Then...
Love is a living thing. And like many living things, it can wither and die.
Why couldn't you have left me alone? I wasn't bothering you. I was happy.
I'm sorry.
I built up all my defenses, and they were strong. They could have protected me for the rest of my life.
I said I'm sorry.
And that's all you can say.
Louisa, I'm really not worth it.
That's true. You're counterfeit. But I was willing to give full value. You'll never again meet someone who will have waited for you all her life.
Louisa, there are certain things that just were not meant to be.
You'll want me, Richard, one day. You'll need the kind of love that only I can give you. But I won't be there.
Oh, of course not. You'll marry someone who's worthy of you.
No, there could never be anybody else. Besides, I'll be dead. I intend to kill myself.
Louisa!
Why not? I can't go back to being an old maid schoolteacher. Because now it's intolerable. And I'm dead inside, as it is.
Well, you're being very melodramatic.
I'm also being very realistic. I don't have anything I consider worth living for.
Oh, you can't! Oh, Richard, tell her something.
What can I tell her?
Tell her you'll stay and marry her.
But I can't do that because I don't love her.
You see, Sally? He's right. There really isn't a thing that any of us can do about it. He does what's in his heart, and I have to do what's in mine. The golden people, like gold, they can belong to anyone. And have
no feeling.
Even as she said it, I just couldn't feel anything for her. I was conscious of her looking as she looked the first moment I saw her. Plain and just this side of Dowdy. How could I possibly live with her for the rest of my life? I'd probably wind up killing her. No. No, I was doing her a favor. She feels badly now, but she'll get over me. The fact is, no one ever dies for love. For money, yes. For love, no. Well, Jane and I were married. Let me give you gentlemen a piece of advice. If you can't be born rich, marry rich. There's nothing like it. You wait for nothing, for no one. Everything is possible. And she also loved me.
How are you this morning, Lucky Seven?
Listen, you may have been married 6 times, but I'm the first real husband you ever had.
That's what I love about you. Your absolute modesty.
Well, if they were so good, why did you divorce them?
They started to bore me. What are we listening to?
Just some music.
Oh, if there's anything I hate worse than classical music...
Well, this isn't too bad, and I only tuned it in because the news comes on in a minute.
We don't have to listen to news. We can make our own. We can buy a country, if you like.
This is Sally Smith with the local news, brought to you at this time by Plessy's Pharmacy.
What is this? Where is this coming from?
Sadler's Corners. My sister's the announcer.
Why don't we buy her a decent radio station?
This is going to be a very difficult program for me. My lead story is about my best friend. Her name was Louisa Curran, who taught school here for 15 years.
She sounds great.
When Louisa didn't show up for her classes this morning, I was asked to see if she was all right. And she wasn't at home, but I found a note. She said she had had enough of life, not to try to find her, because she was just quietly going to put an end to her life. It was very much like Louisa. She intended to die as she had lived, without being a bother to anyone. But before I came on, I asked our engineer to play her favorite melody. And as a tribute to Louisa, I would like for him to play some more of it.
Wow. Isn't that touching? Did you know her?
Who?
This poor spinster school teacher.
No.
That isn't true. You are engaged to her.
Oh, darling, the past is the past.
No, it's always present. For instance, when you lie, you remind me of my second husband.
Why?
Because he could lie better than you can.
Oh, really?
Why did you break your engagement?
Because I fell in love with you.
Oh, don't compete with my second husband. You can't win.
I married you for your money.
Now you remind me of my fourth husband. He believed in being brutally frank.
Well, how do I compare with him?
So just as frank, not as brutal.
Does everything I do remind you of one of your ex-husbands?
6 husbands cover practically all the ground there is. Let's do something today.
All right. Tennis.
Oh, we did that all day yesterday.
Sailing?
I'm bored with sailing. Tennis, golf.
Let's hop on a jet and go to Europe.
Oh, Europe bores me.
I looked into those eyes. Those brilliant blue eyes. When I saw them for the first time in the showroom, I thought they had a touch of madness. But now I could see a kind of icy sparkle. And a shiver went through my body. I could see myself reflected in those eyes. My hair was thinner. Thinner than I had ever remembered. I had lines in my forehead at the corners of my mouth. I was getting just the slightest sag under my chin. Was this how I was beginning to look to her? Jane, turn that music off. What are we doing with a record player in the bedroom? Jane!
Richard.
Who are you?
You know who I am?
No.
Oh, I know there have been so many women in your life, but you must remember me.
No.
You do, Richard. You do.
You're dead, Louisa. Dead. I just heard it on the news this morning.
That's true. I'm dead.
No, this is a dream. If only I could wake up.
wake up from this awful dream.
It isn't a dream. I'm here.
You can't be.
I'm here to keep my promise.
What promise?
It was our bargain. Whichever one of us died first would come back for the other. Eurydice has come back for Orpheus. Oh, Richard, I told you, even when I'm dead, I can't live without you.
Go away, please.
Look at her, Richard. Fast asleep next to you. What is she dreaming of? You can't tell. But I can. She's dreaming of her other husbands and of all the things they could do better than you. It's compassion time, isn't it?
That isn't true.
She's starting to become bored.
No.
She always married a man for a reason. Why did she marry you? Because she thought you were inventive.
Why can't I wake up?
You're up now.
I'm not.
Richard, look in the mirror. Look at the golden boy. The gold is becoming tarnished. You're getting older every day. She's already noticed. Oh, Richard, come with me.
I
love you no matter what you look like. I'll never compare you to anyone because I never had anyone else. Come with me, Richard.
Louisa, can you forgive me?
Oh, my darling. Oh.
I suddenly feel old and tired and frightened.
I love you.
I need you. Oh, how I need you, Louisa. I never said that to any woman. I love you more than ever.
Then come with me.
Yes. Yes.
What are you shouting about?
Louisa, where did she go?
Where did who go?
Louisa. Hmm? Well, what did you do with Louisa?
I didn't do it. Are you crazy?
What did you do with her? She was just here.
No one was here. You must have had a nightmare. You're crazy.
Ah, is that how it works? You're tired of me, so you'll get everyone to think I'm crazy. Well, you won't get away with
it. Let go of me.
You won't cast me aside.
No.
The way you did with all those others.
No. You're joking me.
I'm not like them. I won't stand for it. I won't. I won't.
Is everything all right, Richard?
Yes.
I hope you feel more calm this morning.
Oh, yes, yes.
Jane feels better, too.
Jane?
I spoke with her, and we felt it would help you to know that she forgives you.
Who's Jane?
Of course, you'll have to stay here.
Oh, no, no. No, I'll be leaving soon.
And Jane says she'll see that you're provided for the rest of your life.
Oh, yes, yes, I'll be going. Louisa's coming for me.
Louisa, but... Oh, Richard, dear. You have to face the fact that Louisa is dead.
Yes, I know that. And that's why she's coming back for me. I don't want her to be there alone.
Richard...
She'll come for me. You'll see.
Mr. Luden.
I got a letter for you today, and I don't know what to make of it. Why, look at the handwriting.
Oh. Well, it's Louisa Curran's writing.
It can't be from Miss Curran. She's dead.
Dear Sally, obviously I'm not dead. I meant to end it all that day, and I thought I'd do it in style, so I decided to have a final fling. I took all my money from the bank and I put it into makeup and clothes and a trip. And you know, I found myself. Or the world found me. I mean, men found me. I thought I was nobody. And I was nobody. Well, I found a new attitude and I became somebody. Mrs. Somebody. I am now Mrs. Elroy Carter. He's a lawyer. He's wonderful. And it isn't too late for us to have a family. And I owe it all to Richard. It was Richard who sent me out into the world. Give him my best the next time you see him.
So you see, in all of us, there is the potential to do good, to help our fellow man and woman. And Richard who used and abused women all his life, was the man who did the most for them in the end. I'll be back to do something for you.
The sun is the best source of light, but it only works on days, and the days are beginning to get shorter, so you have to look for more light and a lot closer to home. Hi, Pat Summerall to remind you that your True Value Hardware store is close to home, and their selection of General Electric light bulbs makes them one of the best sources of light in your neighborhood. The star of that selection is their GE Soft White Plus bulbs with an exclusive power coil filament that's stronger than regular filaments. The 75 and 100-watt Soft White Plus bulbs will last twice as long as standard soft whites, so you'll cut your tedious bulb-changing chores in half. And when you visit your True Value Hardware store, you'll discover that since GE Soft White Plus bulbs don't cost that much more than regular soft whites, you'll save money, too. See the complete selection of General Electric light bulbs. They're just one of the many values at participating True Value Hardware stores. And remember, True Value, that's more than just a name. It's their way of doing business. And tell them Pat Summerall sent you.
Now that he's won it, what's he going to do with it? In this week's special election issue of Time magazine, Jimmy Carter reveals his plans for his presidency. In an exclusive interview, the president-elect tells you what he wants to do about your taxes, how he's going to change your government, and how he personally plans to deal with foreign heads of state. It's a revealing study of what's really on James Earl Carter's mind. In another Time interview, Carter's campaign manager spells out how they won it, why they almost lost it, and what he sees as Jimmy's campaign strengths and weaknesses. You'll discover the biggest single factor in the Carter victory. Find out where Carter might run into trouble with the new Congress and meet the new members of the Senate and House. You'll also look into the future of Gerry Ford, Bob Dole, Ronald Reagan, and the grand old party itself. The election and what to expect next in the new issue of Time on Newsstands Now. Pick up a copy today.
People, fortune's favorites. It all comes so easy, the climb up the ladder. But that climb up isn't everything. No one stays on top forever. The problem in life is to know when to come down and to descend gracefully without being pushed. Our cast included William Redfield, Marion Seldes, Bryna Rayburn, and E.V. Juster. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Seattle 91. It's 11 o'clock and time for the news.
CBS News. Preliminary reports of heavy earthquake damage on the Philippine island of Mindanao could be a harbinger of heavy casualty reports as well, but there's no knowing at this hour with communications disrupted. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The quake that hit the Philippines early Monday morning had the potential for being a big killer, with the further threat that it could kick up a tidal wave. The official geophysical observatory has issued a tidal wave warning for the area. More from Gabi Tabunar in Manila.
An earthquake of strong magnitude, measuring 7 on the Richter scale, struck the eastern portion of Mindanao in the southern Philippines today. Initial advisors from a town in that region which bore the brunt of the tremor said some government and private buildings were heavily damaged. There were no reports of casualties so far. Telephone lines to the affected areas broke down as a result of the earthquake. Hours later, some areas devastated by the major earthquake 3 months ago were shaken by moderately strong tremors described by the government's geophysical station as aftershocks of the August 17th earthquake. That earthquake and a tidal wave that followed killed an estimated 8,000 people in southwestern Mindanao. The earthquake that shook the eastern part of Mindanao today was felt over a large portion of that southern Philippine island in varying intensities. But it was strongest in Surigao province in eastern Mindanao, where the quake lasted for 25 seconds. Gabby Tabunyar for CBS News, Manila.
A series of Monday morning earth tremors drove thousands of residents of the Greek city of Salonika into the streets. Police reported no damage to buildings, but hospitals and first aid stations in the city of 700,000 reported at least 300 people treated for shock and minor injuries suffered as they fled their homes. Eyewitnesses are quoted by United Press International as saying thousands fled the Macedonian city in their cars. Others settled down in parks, streets, and on the beaches, while still others went into churches to pray. Two top American experts on Africa, William Shoffley and John Reinhart, are to leave Geneva for Washington on Monday to report to Secretary of State Kissinger on the conference to determine the future of Rhodesia. The negotiations have stalled on the issue of a target date for granting power to Rhodesia's black majority. The British chairman of the conference, Ivor Richard, plans more informal talks Monday, shuttling between the white government delegation and the four black nationalist delegations, trying to narrow the gap so that formal meetings may be resumed. Richard did likewise Sunday, but would say only that the discussions were, in his phrase, long and complicated. In Lebanon, Arab League officials and government leaders still are trying to make the 55th ceasefire of that 18 months long civil war work. It was declared 19 days ago, but after seeming to take hold at first, has been a mighty shaky thing in recent days as fighting spread from Beirut to the countryside. More from CBS News reporter Doug Tinnell in Beirut.
President Elias Sarkis issued a nationwide appeal to the Lebanese to cooperate with the Arab peacekeeping force for Lebanon and to give their full support to the current efforts to restore peace here. Sarkis issued a broadly worded and emotional appeal, leaving a number of questions unanswered. He did not say when the 30,000-man Arab peacekeeping force for Lebanon was to arrive, but according to the news broadcast following the Sarkis speech, the forces will begin opening roads in the mountains above Beirut. Sarkis emphasized that the force will replace the Lebanese army only until that army is reunited once again. And he mentioned the Palestine Liberation Organization by name, calling for the application of standing agreements between the Lebanese government and the PLO guerrillas here. Doug Tinnell, CBS News, Beirut.
A Navy spokesman has confirmed for CBS News that the Vice Chief of Naval Operations has reported to the Director of the Defense Security Assistance Agency that the Navy has had detailed discussions with Northrop and McDonnell Douglas about making a land-based version of the Navy's latest carrier fighter plane, the F-18. The so-called F-18A is wanted by Iran, which reportedly is ready to spend $4 billion for research and development and to buy the planes. Now this.
Hear ye, hear ye! All residents are being offered the opportunity to become drown-proof.
Hey, Bud, what's this drown-proof bit?
Can you swim, sir?
No.
Then the YMCA wants to drown-proof you and every other non-swimmer in town by teaching you how to swim.
No kidding.
That's right. Think of the fun and exercise you'll have swimming, and you'll be able to enjoy all the other water sports, too, in safety. That's something to celebrate in this bicentennial year.
What's the bicentennial got to do with it?
How did George Washington get to Trenton?
He crossed the Delaware in a rowboat.
Sir, would the father of our country have set foot in a rowboat if he couldn't swim? He had to set a good example.
Like father, like son, eh?
And like mother, like daughter. Martha knew how to swim, too. Everybody's welcome at the Y to learn how to swim. So drown-proof yourself and your family and make George Washington proud of you. Hear ye, hear ye!
U.S. and Japanese negotiators have begun formal talks in Tokyo on a new fishery agreement encompassing the controversial 200-mile offshore economic zone declared by the United States.
The law, due to go into effect next March and restricting fishing by foreign boats within 200 miles of the U.S. shore, has raised a storm of protest among the Japanese. Their diet depends heavily on fish, much of it caught in the Northeast Pacific within the zone. The current fishery agreement between the United States and Japan expires at the end of this year. It's expected a quota will be worked out, giving the Japanese limited fishing rights within the zone. Mike Stanley, CBS News.
AIX High Time is 11:06.